says there on the cross where Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. Man, I love that line. Man. And what else can satisfy the wrath of God? You know, what else? No good works, I can tell you that much. Nothing I can do, nothing I can say, nothing I can possibly muster up could probably satisfy the wrath of God. But praise God for the love of Jesus. May He love me enough to die on the cross for my sin and rise again on the third day. Prove that He has won the victory over death and hell and the grave and sin and Satan and all those things in between. Today I want to find ourselves here focused again back on the resurrection. We went to it last week and saw seven questions that came up in the resurrection after Christ rose again from the dead. And I want us to continue in that same vein and thought. You'll find ourselves in John 21 today. John 21. You know, when I look out across the service today, you know, I just appreciate everybody that's here. I appreciate the opportunity. And I was thinking about this when we were singing that last song, Lord, I'm coming home. To be the pastor of this church and see all these people here today. This fills my heart with joy. And not only that, but with great humility, because I don't deserve to be the pastor of Scenic Hills Baptist Church at all. And I really appreciate your willingness and your kindness and so much of a submission that you show to my pastoral leadership, and I don't deserve it. And I just hope that you'll keep praying. I'll be underneath the chief shepherd. Amen. That's where I'm trying to get my orders from. I ain't coming up with them all myself. I need the orders from the chief shepherd, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so may God help us continue in this same thing. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for all your blessings. It's just I'm humbled, and I thank you. Thank you so much. Go ahead and turn your Bible. You're there in John chapter 21. I'm going to read a few verses here so you follow along with me as we read today in this narrative. It says now, in verse number 1, it says, after these things, this is after the resurrection and after the fact that Christ has showed himself a few times to the disciples. It says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were gathered together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. So 7 out of the 11 were there. And it says in verse 3, now Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? That's our text today. That's our question that we're going to be dealing with. They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Literally, they're pulling, they're tugging, they can't get it up out of the water. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, that is John, who this gospel has been written by, saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon and Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his father's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. You know, one preacher said one time, see, you know, Peter, you could tell he wasn't right with the Lord because, you know, he was out there fishing with a bunch of men being naked, you know what I mean? And that's not really the idea there. The idea is that he just had on the undergarment. He didn't have his outer garment on, maybe had his shirt off or something like that, and he put that on and he jumps in the water, we see in verse number 8. And he cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were about 200 cubits, about 100 yards away, dragging the net with the fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land, full of great fishes, 153. For all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples, after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest not wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And that was the death of crucifixion, just like his Lord would die. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Now I had full intentions to preach all of that today. But being underneath the chief shepherd again, I've realized that, you know what, that's just too much. And there's much more here to deal with than those last few verses, and I might even be a whole other sermon in that. I think there is very easily in 15 through 19. And so today I want us to deal with just that one simple question where it says in verse number 5, going back to it, Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, No, we have none. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you now again in prayer, knowing that you hear and answer our prayers. And Lord, I need you today. I need you more than ever, because it is today. I need you right now. And Lord, I just ask that you please will hide me behind the cross, Lord, and let me preach the Word of God. Help me preach the Gospel. Help me preach, Lord, the Word of God as you would seem fit and best. Lord, I thank you for the word. It is a sharp two-edged sword, piercing even in two, Lord, our hearts. And I pray that, Father, the word of God would pierce. I can do nothing. May we all realize that, Lord. We can do nothing. We can do nothing without you. With men, it's impossible. But may we see, Lord, with you, all things are possible. Well, thank you for it. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. You know, one of the key things for life and successes in life is proper preparation. When I was in high school and I played football, our coaches would tell us this, practice, boys, does not make perfect. They'd say, perfect practice makes perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. And now you say that five times fast and you'll have a tongue twister on your hands right there. But preparation is key to success in life. Preparation for preparing for a job interview could possibly land you a wonderful career in life. Preparing perhaps for a test could mean that you pass the grade that you're in. But there is a much greater preparation that is not just in tests and passing grades and in job interviews and of other things like that. But there is a preparation to get ready for what we all know as eternal life. Eternal life has some preparations behind it too. But these men here, these seven men that Jesus is talking to, he is directing them, he is helping them, he is preparing these men for something much greater. These men are going to be great leaders in the church of God here in just a few weeks. In the passage I'm talking about here today, they're going to be great leaders. Simon Peter, you know, would be the man that delivers the great message at Pentecost where over 3,000 souls are saved at that very day. But they still need to learn some things. May I ask you a question? Do you still need to learn a few things? Are any of us too proud in here to say, well, I've learned it all. Nothing else to learn. I know everything in the Encyclopedia Britannica, right? Some of you that are under the age of 21 have no idea what I just said right there. What did he just say? What kind of foreign language is Encyclopedia Britannica? Wikipedia, right? You know more than all that's in Wikipedia. You know all more. You know it all, don't you? No, none of us are no more. I hope would not be proud enough to say that. They will become great witnesses, these men, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you know what? Our life depends upon our life in this message here, so we're going to find out, depends upon it, hangs upon it, hinges on one question. One question. Children, have you any meat? Hey, boys, y'all caught anything out there? Might say it like that here in Texas. Y'all boys caught anything? What y'all catching out there? Y'all got any meat? Y'all got anything to eat? You got anything to show for your labors? You've been rowing and tolling and fishing all night. Y'all got anything to show for it? They said no. Oh, I've heard that question from Jesus a time or two. When I've tried to do things on my own, I've tried to run life the way that I think I should run life, and I found out the results are often bankrupt. And he says, you got any meat? Got anything to show? What do you have to show for it? Have you any meat? You know, there's some people in life, they'll say, yeah, I do. I've got something to show for my labors. Look what I have to show. Look what I've got over here. I've got some things. But you know the problem is this, is that so many people are showing the wrong things. They're showing, look what I've got. Look what I have done. Look what I have done some things. You know what I've got? Look, I've worked hard. I've done all these things. I got my cash, right? I got my money. Look at me. Look what I've done. Look what I've amassed. Look what I've built up. I've got my car. I've got my clothes. I've got my IRA, my 401k, my vacation house, my boat, my deer lease, my college education. And you're in debt to 6 of the 10 of the things I just mentioned too, right? You really don't own them. You just simply, you have accumulated a few things that you think are all right. I've got all these things in my life, man. Yeah, have you got any meat? Oh, yeah, the pantry's full. Amen. Man, I got the freezer's loaded down. The refrigerator's got lots of food in it. The house has got some bacon been cooked. Man, if I go over to the house, man, some bacon's been cooking this morning, man. I've got some meat. But you know what? You missed it. You missed the point right there. You know why I know that? Because Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 26 tells us this. Jesus speaking to us again says, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, you're looking for the wrong thing. You're finding meat in the wrong thing. How in the world is that going to help you in the eternal life? If you had we worked for a guy the other day who has 6 Ferraris in his garage and multiple other cars, but what is that going to do for him in the end of life? Is God going to be pleased with his 6 Ferraris? Is God going to say, oh, that's impressive, that's wonderful, what a beautiful house you have. I think you should come into heaven, maybe help me out with my mansions, amen? No, he doesn't do that. He doesn't say things like that. God has it all. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns everything. It's all his anyhow. What's a man going to give in exchange for his soul? It's like another man that's found in the scriptures. You remember him? The parable that Jesus told, that this man had some barns and he thought to himself, man, I've got a lot of stuff. What should I do with all my stuff? You know what I'll do? I've got a grand idea. I'll tear everything down and I'll build greater and bigger barns. And he said, oh, God says to him, thou fool, dost thou not know that tonight thy soul is required? Don't you realize that tonight you're going to die? What good is it going to do you? What good is your cash, all of these things, going to help you out in the eternal? You know what other people say? They say, I've got my creed, right? I got my cash, I got my creed. I got my religion, I got these things. I got my baptism, I've got these things. I've got my prayers, I've got my letter of comfort. I've got my membership down at the Baptist church, amen. I got my name on the roll down there. Hey, but Jesus isn't looking for your name on the roll at the Baptist church, amen. He's looking for your name written down in the Lamb's book of life. God don't measure you by what name is on your, what name you got on what roll. I don't care if you put your name on every roll in the city here. Put your name down on it. Put your name, go to every church. Be a member of it. You know what? That ain't going to get you to heaven. What matters is your name written down in the Lamb's book of life. But Jesus, again, reminds us and tells us that if you want to try to trust in these things, He tells us in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 20, he says, "For I say unto you." Now, when Jesus says that, he's kind of just saying, "Hey, guys, let me tell you something for a minute. Let me just be real with you, okay? Let me tell you something. Let me say, I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Some of you say, "I got my creed, I got my religion, I got this, I got that." But you know what? Jesus told these Pharisees, the most religious people of the day. And he told everybody else that was listening, "Guys, unless your righteousness will exceed those Pharisees who, in man's eyes, you could not get any more righteous, you could not get any better than that. Think of the most holy, the most amazing person that you know. The most righteous person, the most moral person. You say, that's an amazing person. That's a person." God says, "You know what? You got to be better than that. You got to be better than that." "Well, I can't even get close to that." And they can't even get better than what they are right now. You see, it's a process of elimination. It's saying to yourself, "You know what? Well, there's no way to get there. There's no possible way. It's not your creed. It's not your cash. It's not your credentials. It's not how many old ladies you've helped cross the street, all right? It's not how much good you have done." Because, you know, the problem with that is this, is how much good do you got to do to get in heaven, right? Where is the tally marks? Who's putting them down? Where is it you're going to finally be comfortable and say, "You know what? I finally did enough good works to get into heaven." God finally says, "You know what? You finally did enough, all right?" Where is that mountain? Where is that at? Where is that found in the Bible? It's not in the Bible. But Titus chapter 3 and verses 4 and 5 are in the Bible. I like the Bible, amen? I'll stick with that. I'm glad it's not what I think, but it's what the Scriptures think. And the Scriptures say this in Titus 3, 4, and 5. It says, "But after that, the kindness and love of our God and Savior appeared toward man." How did it appear toward man? How did God show His love to us? In verse number 5, it says, now here it is, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." You know what that is? It's simply what Jesus says in John 3:3. He says, "Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Except a man be born again, except you have the washing of regeneration. It's not by what you can do. Your works, your things, your credentials, your creed, your cash. That's not going to get you to heaven, my friend. "Have you any meat? Oh, I've got these things." Oh, the Bible puts those things out and says, "Oh, those cancel out." But Peter said, going back to our text here, he says in verse number 3, he says to his friends, he says, "Now, I go a-fishing. Enough waiting around here, I'm going fishing." Now, I don't think he was being blasphemous or anything like this. I think he was just anxious. I think he was just anxious. Some people are showing the wrong things, but others are just kind of going the wrong direction. This is great and all. I'm so happy that Christ is risen from the dead. I'm so glad for this. All hail, praise God for Christ risen from the dead. But you know what? Hey, let's go fishing. Let's go fishing. Let's go do something. I'm tired of waiting around here. We've been saved. We've enjoyed salvation for a time. Some people are saved. You know you're saved. But you know what? You're kind of living like a Peter. You're living like Peter. You're just kind of living blasé Christianity, nonchalantly, walking through life, just kind of passionately going through things in life and not really caring for the eternal things in life. Let's go fishing. Oh, we had a good time at church. Oh, we had a good time at Easter. Oh, we had a good time at these things. Oh, we had a good time with all of these things. Oh, let's go do something else. No care, no concern, no desire. Just nonchalant Christianity. Not let's tell somebody about Jesus. Not I can't wait to get back for service. No, I'll see you on Wednesday. Man, I wish I could go knock on. Man, I wish I could tell some more people about Jesus. It could have been out of a couple of things. Maybe out of impatience. Man, we've been waiting around here, and we haven't seen Jesus. Where's He at? What's going on? Let's go fishing. And some of us in our Christianity, that's exactly what we're like. Man, I thought this church thing was going to help me out. It's like one person told me one time, hey, somebody will give 20 years of a life to Budweiser, but they won't give 20 minutes to God. They give 20 years of a life to some sin, some ungodliness, some ungodly living. They'll give their life to that, but then they won't give 20 days, they won't give 20 minutes, they won't give God a year to let them change their life, to let them do some work in their life. The Bible emphasizes, there's a word it emphasizes many times over, it's called the word grow. Grow in grace and the knowledge of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Grow. I've got a garden out here, all right? I love a garden. You know why my dad grew a garden? I just enjoy watching these things. I've got some squash out there, man. The little yellow crooked neck squash is starting to come on. I got some tomatoes starting to come on. Man, I got a bell pepper out there ready to be picked right now. I got a few little head of chicken out here. I'm just joking about that. I got a few little chickens out there, but you know what? I've raised them chickens from little bitty babies. I've raised them up. But you know what? Here's the thing about all that. I don't expect things instantaneously. I didn't drop that tomato plant in the ground, and all of a sudden just, boom, next day come out there, where's my tomatoes? Oh, must not be anything out here. Just going to dig it up, maybe use this garden for something else. No. But so many times that's what we treat Christianity like. We're saved. We're born again. We're living for it. We know what's right. We know what's wrong. But we get impatient with life. What do you got to show for your labors? Christian, I'm talking to you this morning. I'm asking you. Maybe God's knocking on your door. Have you got any meat? They say, oh, yeah, I've got a little bit. I got a few tickets to this thing. I got a few receipts down to the department store. I got a good meal last night. But here, I'm not asking you these things. What do you got? What do you got eternally? What do you have to show for your labors? And besides all that, most people don't realize that, just like it says here in the text, he says in verse number 3, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. Most of us don't realize or understand, or we might realize it, but sometimes we ignorantly do these things. We sometimes as believers, we're living for God, but yet we go off down the wrong direction. You know what we do, believers? We will influence others to do wrongly also. Peter was the leader of the bunch. There's no doubt about that. He had that personality. He told him, he said, I'm gonna use you, Peter. And you know what Peter said? He said, I go a-fishing. And all of them else said, oh, we go too. We go too. Dads, let me tell you something, dads. You better watch out for your families. Because if you're going to go astray, you know what? It's going to be much easier for your children to go astray. I thought we were talking about fishing and meat, but you're having to get on dads and moms and all these kinds of things. Because that's the Word of God. It goes right back down to us. It meets us where we're at, right there in the nitty-gritty. Because here's the Word of God. Here's so many times people are going this way and they're going that way and they're getting off track and they're going over here and they're going over there, and you're getting your kids off track. You're getting your wives off track. You're getting your siblings off track because you're not doing what God wants you to do. God wants you to live a holy, godly, righteous life. God wants you to provide for your family. God wants you to enjoy some things with your family. But here's the deal. That needs to be all in the realms and in the parentheses with God on one side and God on the other side. God's the bookends for our life, folks. He's the bookends for our marriage. He's the bookends for everything else that's in between. He's what holds it all together. Puts it all together. I bought my dad one time. He's got a little commentary set that he likes to read from old James Vernon McGee out of Georgia. And I bought him some bookends. I bought him some little bookends from India when I was over there, with some little elephant bookends. And he keeps some things up there. And I think to myself, when I look at those little book, it holds them things perfectly up there. And without them, they'd fall over. And that's how our life is, isn't it? Without God on this side and without God on that side. So many times, I think, in our life, we start out, we get saved. Praise God, when I was 19 years old, God showed me myself, showed me my need for Christ. He showed me I was a sinner. He showed me that I needed to be saved. He showed me the way. You know what the way is? Who's the way? Jesus. And whosoever shall call upon him shall be saved. And I was saved. You know what? But you continue in life, and sometimes we don't put them on this side. We're saved. We started off. Our lives are... But you know what the Bible says in Hebrews? It says He's the author and the finisher of our salvation. He's not just there to save us. He's there to keep us. He's there to guide us. He's there to direct us. He's there to... for us to be used by Him in our lives, in our walk, in our talk with Him in our every single day of our lives. But what happened to them? You know the story. It says they went all night and they caught how much? Can somebody say it with me? Nothing. Nothing. They caught nothing. Now, isn't that surprising? No, not really. Because just a couple of chapters ago in John chapter number 15, what did Jesus warn them? He told them, He says, "For without me, ye can do nothing." Nothing. It's no surprise. They went all night. They toiled all night. And they caught nothing. All they caught was a pitiful, tired, weak, grumpy, and hungry attitude. Right? That's all they got in all their labors. Oh, you see, this is where we've been going to, but he says in verse number 5, now he says, "Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have you any meat?" There's a good thought there in the children, isn't there? Oh, they was just like children, weren't they? They was going through some growing pains. They needed to grow a little bit. They needed to grow it. And sometimes we as believers, we're just like little children. We throw our temper tantrums. We cuss and we fight and we get on people's nerves and things don't go our way. We get upset about it. We throw our little temper tantrums. We go and do things that we want to do. And we go and buy things that think that will make us happy and things like that. My wife was relaying to me. She took the kids out to the garage sales yesterday. And so she said, "Oh, I'll never do that again." Oh, they was buying every little thing in sight. I mean, all the little pieces of junk that everybody else was glad to get rid of. And they were saying, "Oh, praise God, keep the kids coming." You know what I mean? Keep them in there. They had their own money. They were ready to spend it up. You know, that's children. That's what children do. But we as adults, we're not much different, are we? For us guys, it just kind of gets a little bigger, doesn't it? It turns into boats, and it turns into cars, and it turns into other things in our lives. It turns into guns and things like that. And we say, "Oh, that's going to make me. No, it's not. Children, have you any meat? What do you got? What do you got for your labors? What do you got for what you have done? Have you done anything that's been worthwhile for all your time? I'm not just talking to you about a good deeds checklist. I'm asking you this. What do you got for serving Christ? Has your Christian walk with Jesus Christ, has your charity and love for others grown? Has it grown? Has it gotten bigger? Has it gotten better? Are you more patient than you were before? Do you have a purity? Do you have a heart of purity and of mind? Do you have any knowledge of the Scriptures? Do you have anything that you may say, you know what, that you can look back in your life and you can say, you know what, in my past, I can see, look what God's done. Oh, look at the trials that He's brought me through, and my faith has been encouraged. Oh, look at these temptations that I've been brought to, and yet by God's grace, they've been defeated. Praise God. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a good deeds checklist. Paul said about Onesimus in Philemon, chapter number 1, he said that this is my dearly beloved child in the Lord. Hey, do we got anybody that we've told about the Lord? You've seen them come to Christ? I'm not, you know what? I'm not a soul winner in the sense that I win people to Christ. But you know what? There are some people that sometimes in life when you get a chance to be with them and you're saved. Not because that you're now with your little spiritual father. Any converts, any people that you've seen led to the Lord? Got anybody that you've talked to about God that you've let you've had a chance to be with them when they got saved? Is your Christian testimony so bright and so amazing that people know it and they know that you're not ashamed to tell others about Jesus Christ? Do they know these things? Have you any meat? They answered no. And I think so many times we do so too, because we live nonchalantly, unimpassioned, childish lives. You say, what's the solution? Well, the solution is right before us. He says in verse number 6, "And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." You know what it is? I'll tell you what it is, Christian. You know what the solution? The solution for not having any meat? It's obedience. Obedience. You say, well, it's got to be something harder, right? Amen. It's got to be something hard. I mean, I really need to do something. I really got, you got to do something. You know what it is? Obey. Obey. Do what God tells you to do. You know, the problem with so many people about in salvation, the problem with so many people that are not saved is they're looking for extremely hard ways to be saved. They're trying their best to come up with ways that will in some way guarantee and assure their eternal life with God Almighty. But the problem is this, is that it's not hard in the sense that it's not hard in that we've got to come up with something that is. Some people used to think, well, I've got to whip my back, or I've got to do this, or I've got to do that. And what you're telling me is that repent of my sins and believe on Jesus Christ. And you're saying believe the gospel? I mean, that's it? Come on, there's got to be something harder. I got to do more. But the problem is in your mind and in your heart, you haven't got to realize that you can't do anything to be saved. It's through faith, it's by grace, through faith in Christ alone that a man is saved, that a woman is saved, putting their faith in Him alone for salvation. Because here's the thing, He asked them if He had any meat, and it's not that Christ didn't know that He didn't have any meat, amen? He knew they didn't have anything. But here's the deal. Jesus already had the meat. Did you see that in their text when we read that? Whenever they got out of the ship and they came to the shore, and there were the great fish that were brought to the shore, it says here in verse number 12, it says, "Now Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And other disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth him, and fish likewise." He had it already. In verse number 9 it says, "As they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals thereon, fish laid thereon, and bread." Have you any meat? Have you any meat? He knew they didn't have anything. And yet he's letting them know. They come up to the shore, and there he is. He's already got supper. He's already got breakfast ready for them. Amen? He's already got a little breakfast for their tired, weary souls. He says, "Hey, come and dine. Come and eat. Come and eat." It's like he said in John chapter 6 and verse number 35. Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst." John 4:34 says, Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." And John 4:14 says, "And whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst." You see, Christ has already got it, friends. It's already there. It's available for us today. He says, "Come and dine." Here it is. Why are you waiting around? Why are you standing there? It's like he talks over in Acts chapter number 1 in verse number 11. "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye there a-gazing? Why are you looking up into heaven? This same Jesus that you saw go, he shall return again." There's so many people. They're looking around. They're just kind of gazing. They're looking around trying to say, "What do we do? What do we do? What do we do?" Christ is here saying, "Come and dine. Here it is. I'm the bread. I'm the water. I'm the meat. Take of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen. The burdens that the world offers, my friend, is so burdensome, they weigh you down. He tells them, "Bring up the fish. Don't waste anything." Oh, Christ wasn't a waster, was he? "Bring them up here." And he made them eat. And I tell you today, my friend, that Jesus has the meat for you. You're not going to find the meat. You're not going to find the bread that you're looking for. You're not going to find the satisfaction of life. And it's sad to say it like this, but when you think about it, you're not going to find it in just your family relationships. You're not going to find it in a dating relationship. You're not going to find it in your money. You're not going to find it in your career. You're certainly not going to find it in alcohol or sex or anything else that would be ungodly. You're not going to find it in those kinds of things. You're not going to find it. You can look for it. Try to find, but you're not going to find it. You're going to come up empty-handed time and time and time and time again. Because you're looking in the wrong place. You don't even know where to look, really. That's why Romans chapter 10 says to us, "How shall they hear without a preacher?" And praise God, you know what? You got a preacher here today. He's not the best. But at least he's here showing you something. Trying to show you from the Word of God. There's a meat, there's a bread, there's some water of life that's to be offered to you. And it's found in one person alone, in Christ Jesus. Not in any works of righteousness which you can do, but by His mercy He saved us. Believers, I tell you today that you're not going to find any meat, any satisfaction. You're not going to be able to do what God wants you to do in life if you keep going back to your old knucklehead ways. Keep trying to do it on your own. It's just not going to happen. Christ is not only the author of your faith, my friend, He's the finisher. That's why Hebrews says, looking unto Jesus. I give you two verses today, and I close by saying this. If you're not saved today, in John 1:36, I give you the first looking. John says, in looking upon Jesus, he said these words, "Behold the Lamb of God." You need to look to God. You need to look to Christ. Stop trying to find satisfaction in this world and everything else that exists in it. In your works and your creeds and your crash and your credentials, find it in Christ. And friend, if you are saved, here's your verse. Here's your looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. May God help us to look to Jesus. Have you any meat? What do you have to show for your labors? May God help us. Father, we thank You for what You do for us. We love You. We know that, Lord, You have a great message in this thing. I've tried my best to preach it, Lord, but I pray that You please would work in hearts and lives. And Lord, I want to give an invitation to anybody here today that, Lord, is lost, that's a sinner, that has never trusted Christ as Savior. Just as You told the disciples, come and dine. I pray that, Father, You'd speak to hearts and do the work that only You can do, both in those that are saved and even those that, Lord, are not. For, Lord, You are the one that can work in all hearts. With man, it's impossible. But, Lord, with You, I know all things are possible. Thank You for my salvation and Your grace and mercy. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As Karis plays the piano, here's my instructions. If God's spoken to your heart today, I'd come down here to this altar. I've got a Bible here, and I'd love to show you more plainly the way of salvation. Here's what I'd ask you to do. Just step up out of your seat. Come up here and say, "Preacher, I don't know I'm saved. I don't know I'm going to heaven. I want to trust in Him today." If that's you, you come on up. Believer, you trust in Him, come down here to this altar, pray, ask God to help you.
Sometimes say this after an invitation time like this, you know, you don't have to get, I wasn't saved in a church. Lord saved me at Dormitory College. And, you know, maybe God has spoken to your heart about something, and
somebody that is a Christian. You know that this person's a Christian. Tell them. You know what? That sermon, that hit me. It's something that really, I don't know about these things. Would you show me? Would you help me? And by God's grace, my friend, if you show me the way of salvation, we'll save you. God is a gracious God. Amen. So merciful. And I'm so thankful for him. Let's be dismissed with a word of prayer and ask his blessings on our services of this evening. And also as those that go out today, share this good news that we've been sharing with us today. So let's pray and ask the Lord today. Austin, would you stand and pray for us?
Lord God, Father, thank you for this day. Faithful ministers, your gospel light, Lord, that you prepare some hearts and that people be ready to receive your word.